Well, that is not the Catholic Man Show bumper music you are used to, but this is the Catholic Man Show, an exclusive interview. I'm your host, Adam Minahan, and we are on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. And you can hear the Catholic Man Show on St. Michael Catholic Radio, on Breadbox Media, on iTunes. Check us out on Facebook. And on the Catholic Man Show, we do a couple things. We highlight manly men. We highlight manly topics. And today I have the privilege of talking to both a manly man, Father Donald Calloway, on a manly topic, the Rosary, and his new book, Champions of the Rosary. Father, thanks so much for hanging in there with me and being with me today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It's a real blessing.
It's nice to finally get this interview going after several technical difficulties and having to reschedule, so I appreciate your patience.
Oh, yeah, no problem. It's funny. Those things happen all the time, I think, because the evil one doesn't want the message to get out.
Yes, I think I definitely think we were experiencing that, especially last week when we were attempting to get this thing going. But thank you for your patience. I appreciate it.
No, you're welcome.
Father, I'm really excited to interview today. You've been a blessing to so many different people with your conversion story. A lot of people know about it through your conversion story, but I'm here today. I want to talk to you about your book, Champions of the Rosary. I'm really excited about it. It's broken down into three parts. You want to give them a quick detail of the three parts that it's broken down into?
Yeah, so I thought it was a really good way to do it, because at first the information was just so overwhelming because there's just so much. So what I did was broke it up into those three parts. So the first part is a thoroughly researched history of the Rosary. So from its origins, bringing it throughout the centuries and going through every century and highlighting the major proponents of it, the popes, the saints, the battles, the miracles, the victories, all of that, right up to the present. So that's the first section. And then the second section, I pulled out from the history of the Rosary 26 of its greatest champions. So there've literally been hundreds and hundreds of people who have promoted the Rosary, but I found that there were 26 in particular who really promoted it and wrote incredible statements about it. So I present them in a very thorough way in that second section. And then the third section is really the practical aspect of how to pray the Rosary and also how not to pray it, because some people pray it really fast or some people pray it really slow. Or some people, you know, pray it in an odd way that's really a distraction to everybody else in a group who might be praying it. So things like that, and that includes the indulgences that the Church offers for those who pray the Rosary. And then lastly, in an appendix, I have a really beautiful color section on the Rosary and art that I had to get permission from all these museums around the world, and it took almost half a year to get these permissions because, you know, different language issues and so forth. And so it's a beautiful section. I don't think there's any other book that has a section like that of the Rosary and art anywhere.
I totally agree. And I'm excited to break down each part of this book. But Father, on the Catholic Man Show, we have a man gear that we highlight. And one of the man gears that we've already done is the Rosary and how men should take that up as a spiritual weapon. And in the book, I really like how you use the Rosary as, you call it a spiritual sword. Throughout the book, that's how you refer to it. Talk a little bit about that and talk about how it is a spiritual sword.
Yeah, well, you know, when the Rosary was given to St. Dominic, and I think that that's important right there, because that shows that the Rosary was first given to a man, since, you know, we're doing a man show here, because a lot of people think that the Rosary is just for women and children and something people do at funerals, but it was first given to a man, and that's significant. And it was given to a man during a time of chivalry in the 13th century. So it was a time of knights and battles and princesses and swords. So Our Lady told St. Dominic that this would be a spiritual weapon. And there have been many, many people throughout the centuries who will refer to the Rosary as a spiritual weapon, and many of them will refer to it as a sword. And specifically, if you look at most religious, like if you look at the Dominicans or, you know, Carmelites or a whole bunch of them, they wear the rosary on their habit on the left side. And the reason for that is because they consider it a spiritual sword, like a medieval knight who would wear his sword on the left side so that he, as most people are right-handed, he would pull it out from its sheath by his right hand so it came out. Well, that's the same significance of why most religious wear the rosary on their habit on the left side, because it's a spiritual sword.
Very interesting.
And that's, yeah, very, it is. And that's why on the cover of my book, we have that beautiful medieval crest shield, and I put two swords on it to show the significance that, you know, this is serious stuff. And so, you know, you got a lot of good books out there that, about the rosary that have like teacups on them and stuff, and that's fine. But I wanted to show that this is a manly weapon here, you know?
Right, exactly. So. And I'm glad you brought up St. Dominic. Obviously, we have to talk about St. Dominic with the rosary. I want to also talk about his mother a little bit, because one of the things that I didn't realize was how as pious his mother was, and how she had, I guess, a vision, either a dream or a vision, correct me if I'm wrong, but of dogs, right? And the dogs setting the world on fire. Mm-hmm. Am I on track?
Yeah, no, she's amazing, and she's a blessed Juana, or Jane in English, of Aza is her name, and St. Dominic's mother. So yeah, when she was pregnant, the tradition states that she had a vision. Some say it was a dream, but a vision, whatever the case may have been, where she saw herself oddly giving birth to a dog, and this dog had a torch in its mouth, and it ran all throughout the world, setting the world on fire. Well, she had no idea at the time, but after she gave birth to her son, she named him Dominic, and then years later, he founded the Dominicans. Now, in Latin, when you break down the word Dominicanes, the Dominicans, it sounds like you're saying dogs of God. That's what etymologically what it is in Latin. And so he founded the Dominicans, and they would be considered like the dogs of God, or the hounds of the Lord, who would go all throughout the world with the light of truth, that torch, and set the world on fire. And so her vision was prophetic in that sense. And so, you know, that's kind of why whenever you see a picture of St. Dominic, you almost always see a dog with a torch in its mouth standing next to him, almost always.
Isn't that's amazing. That is an incredible story.
Mm-hmm. It is.
So the rosary, for those who are maybe unfamiliar with the rosary, let's give them a brief, you know, elevator pitch of what the rosary is, and, you know, how it kind of imitates the 150 Psalms and the meditative prayer, kind of the structure of the rosary.
Yeah, well, the rosary, basically, in its most essential way to understand it, is it's the Bible on beads. Mm-hmm. So what that means is that the prayers that are used with the rosary come right out of the New Testament, and what the Psalms were to the Old Testament is kind of what the rosary is to the New Testament. So in the Old Testament, which our Lord himself would have prayed, you have these Psalms that have a refrain. Like, you'll say a certain part, and then you'll say, for his mercy endures forever. Then you'll recite some more, then you'll say, for his mercy endures forever. And it's you know, giving thanks for the blessings that you've received. Well, the rosary is that for the New Testament. So you have the Hail Mary prayer, mm-hmm. which comes right out of the words of the Archangel Gabriel and St. Elizabeth when she says, who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Blessed are you among all women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And then you have the Our Father prayer, of course, which comes from the lips of our Lord himself. Those are the most common prayers in the rosary. And while we're praying those prayers, we are meditating upon the life-saving mysteries of Jesus. So that's really significant and really powerful. And, you know, a lot of people will say, well, our Lord warned us against vain repetition. Yes, vain repetition. This is not vain repetition. Just like Jesus would have recited the Psalms from the Old Testament over and over again, that was not vain repetition. So,
right. I think the angels in heaven would say that they say holy, holy, holy more than just one time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly right. And even our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says in the New Testament, and going again, praying the exact same thing. I know that's not vain. When it has intention and you're praising the Lord, that's not vain. So it's a very powerful prayer that comes right out of the New Testament.
I think I also heard Archbishop Fulton Sheen once say, and I may get this wrong, but he said something about the rosary is very similar to having music in the background as you're studying. You know, you're not
right.
really focusing on the exact words that you're praying, but you're meditating on the mysteries. I may have messed that up a little bit, but that's kind of the gist, correct?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Yeah, and there have been several who have said that similar, that it is that beautiful music in the background that, you know, you're not really paying total attention to because you're meditating upon the mystery. So that's a great explanation.
Okay. Well, sweet. Well, I am sitting here talking with Father Donald Calloway, author of Champions of the Rosary. You can get your book on fathercalloway.com and Amazon, correct?
Yeah, it's fathercalloway.com. So you have to spell out the father part. People get confused by that. But you spell out father and then put Calloway. So fathercalloway.com. And yeah, it's on Amazon.com. It's all over the place now.
Yeah, and if you order it on Amazon, make sure you give them a review, a 5-star review on it. It helps promote the book and let people know about it. So when we get back from this break, I want to talk a little bit more about some of the champions of the Rosary and kind of break down a little bit more about this book, Champions of the Rosary by Father Donald Calloway. So stick around. We'll be right back. I'm here with Father Donald Calloway. This is Adam Minahan for The Catholic Man Show on St. Michael Catholic Radio. Welcome back to a special edition of The Catholic Man Show. I'm Adam Minahan, and I am sitting here with Father Donald Calloway, author of Champions of the Rosary. Father, I want to talk a little bit about Blessed Alla de la Roche. Is it Roche? Blessed
Alla? I think it's just Roche.
Okay.
It's French, so you kind of leave off the ending.
Okay. So let's talk about Blessed Alla de la Roche.
Yeah, no, he's incredible. I mean, without him, we really wouldn't have the rosary today because after St. Dominic founded it in the 13th century, the 14th century, the Black Plague hit Europe where one-third of the population died. And just to put that in perspective, at least 25 million people died.
Wow.
In Europe. Yeah, it's unbelievable. And so the people weren't really thinking about spreading devotions at that time. They were more worried about surviving. And so, you know, the rosary really fell out of, you know, practice. And so in the following century, the 14th century, this Dominican, Blessed Alla de la Roche, he began to revive the rosary and the confraternity, which was basically a prayer group or association of prayer that St. Dominic had founded, to bring this devotion back. And he did it with great, great fruitfulness and success.
It seems like every time that there's an issue in the world that the Lord provides us with great saints that help get us back on track and on praying the rosary. I think that, you know, obviously Pope Pius V, I mean, that what a man of prayer and love of the rosary. I mean, he was around the 1500s when the Protestant Rebellion was happening, and his response to that really was to have people pray the rosary, correct?
Yeah, exactly. And he was a Dominican pope, and so people say that one of the reasons that the pope today wears white like he does is because of that pope, because he was a Dominican, so he wore his white Dominican habit. And so popes have done that ever since. And yeah, this guy loved the rosary, and he asked all of Christianity to pray it in response to the threats of radical, you know, Muslims, known as Ottoman Turks at that time. And it was because of him and his prayers that, that we won a decisive battle over them in today what is a bay in Greece. But in 1571, everything was, you know, happening, and thanks to him and his promotion of the rosary, Christianity won out.
Yeah, and not only did he, you know, help promote the rosary, but he also, like, you know, he formed, like, this holy league, right? I mean, talk about a man. I mean, he formed this holy league of actual soldiers and actual soldiers of the rosary.
That's right, exactly. He did those two things. He formed the, basically a prayer, you know, urging people to pray the rosary, but then he also formed that holy league, and he called men to step up and to defend, you know, the truths of Christianity and their homelands and from these threats, and they did.
I think that if he hadn't done that, obviously, I think we would probably be reading more about the Quran today than we would the Bible.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, there's no question about that. Most people, historians, even secular historians, say that that was the battle that basically saved Western civilization from Islamic takeover.
Father, I want to talk, I want to give enough time to talk about one of a saint that's very near and dear to my heart, and I know he is with yours as well, St. Louis de Montfort. I absolutely love St. Louis de Montfort. I think that his true devotion to Mary was a catalyst in my spiritual life, and I know thousands upon thousands of others, including, you know, St. John Paul II and yours and everybody, a lot of people's. Talk a little bit about St. Louis de Montfort, because his writings, especially, you know, he's the author of True Devotion to Mary and Secrets of the Rosary. Many people didn't even get a chance to read most of his stuff because he hid most of his works. He either buried them or somebody buried them for him after he wrote them.
Yeah, it's crazy because he wrote these masterpieces, and, you know, during his time in the 18th century, there was a lot of weird ideas going around, and so he wasn't very well received with his message. You know, people would actually heckle him during his sermons, and they thought his approach to preaching was just too pietistic, and so he wasn't really that well received, unfortunately. And his works ended up being buried in a field in France. The thing is, we're not exactly sure who buried them, but in a certain sense, it actually ended up being a good thing that they were buried, because when the French Revolution happened at the end of the 18th century, had his works been known by the authorities in France, because they were burning convents, they were destroying churches, they were destroying anything Catholic, had they found his manuscripts for his works, because they weren't published during his lifetime, they would have burned them, and we would have lost them forever. So, in a certain sense, God allowed them to be buried in that field so that after the French Revolution they could be discovered and then be published. And so, yeah, it wasn't until almost 150 years after he wrote them that they were discovered and came on the scene. And they are some of the most powerful stuff ever written about Our Lady.
Absolutely. And he's, you know, kind of the author of the Consecrating Yourself to Jesus Through Mary. If you were, and let's talk about The Secrets of the Rosary, another just phenomenal book by St. Louis de Montfort, that's, both of them are just so hefty in knowledge about our mother and about Jesus. Talk a little bit about Secrets of the Rosary and how that helped you write your book, Champions of the Rosary.
Yeah, well, I think that the Secret of the Rosary is really the best book ever written on the Rosary. I've been telling people that mine's the most comprehensive because it includes the last three centuries since St. Louis de Montfort died, and even things that he wasn't aware of, because today we can do all this research in libraries around the world from the comfort of your computer. Mm-hmm. But his book, I mean, he basically talks about the power of the rosary. He gives examples of the rosary being used in exorcisms. He talks about the saints who promoted it. Talks about the Saint Dominic and his ability to bring back heretics from falsehoods, bring them back to the church, and it's just it packs a punch. And it's a little book; it's not huge, but it is just a powerhouse of promotion of the Rosary. And to this day, I mean, it remains one of the most popular books that has ever been written about the Rosary.
if you had to recommend to somebody which book to read first, The True Devotion to Mary or The Secret of the Rosary, which one would you suggest?
I would probably say True Devotion, just because that gives the whole picture of why Mary is so important in her central place in the mystery of Christianity and the church and our spiritual lives. And then from that, the fruit of that, reading that, should be twofold. It should be consecrating yourself to Our Lady, and it should be praying the rosary. So, because you can't love that which you don't know. So once you get to know Our Lady, then you live out that knowledge through certain acts, and that would be consecration and praying the rosary, and lots of other things as well, but those are the two most significant.
Let's talk about another manly man, Pope Leo XIII. Talk about a guy who absolutely loved the rosary. 11 encyclicals, count them, 11 encyclicals on nothing but the rosary.
Yeah, I mean, this guy was out of control with love for the rosary. I mean, he was cranking out encyclicals almost every year during his pontificate on the rosary. And in addition to that, he wrote many apostolic letters and exhortations on the rosary. He included the title Our Lady of the Rosary in the Litany of Loreto. He's the one who actually beatified Louis de Montfort. He's the one who received a vision where he saw this great battle taking place, and he was given the prayer to St. Michael, which most people pray at the end of the rosary. This guy was just unprecedented, and that's why he really deserves the title the Pope of the Rosary.
Why do you think that he was so focused on, what was going on in that time period where he was just so focused on making sure people were praying the rosary?
Well, there was a lot going on. One thing, sadly, was that there was this threat of what's called modernism that was starting to creep into the church, and people wanting to get away from tradition and get away from things that were, you know, foundational for human life and also for Christian belief. And he saw the power of the rosary to bring back kind of civility to society and to heal the things that were really wounding cultures and all of that. And he saw the rosary really as an antidote to all of the civil issues, the spiritual issues for his times.
Again, I think it goes back to every time that society is veering away, Our Lord provides great saints to bring us back to praying the rosary. It's like the rosary is like the hammer of the heretics or the hammer of the dumb, to get us back on track, to be focused on Christ.
Yeah, no, you're right. And that's what I think what I try and show in the book is that, yeah, when things are going crazy and we've gotten off track, heaven comes and gives us either saints, popes, mystics, that reiterate, or Marian apparitions that reiterate the importance of the rosary.
When we get back, I want to talk a little bit about the rosary and Fatima, another great example of the Lord providing us with great saints and mystics about the rosary. So when we get back, we'll talk a little bit about that, a little bit about one of my favorite saints again, Maximilian Kolbe and Pope John Paul the Great. I'm here talking with Father Donald Calloway, author of Champions of the Rosary. We will be right back. Stay tuned, and we will also talk about St. Maria Faustina. Welcome back. This is Adam Minahan, host of The Catholic Man Show that you can catch on St. Michael Catholic Radio Thursdays at 7 p.m. You can also catch it on iTunes and Google Play and also Breadbox Media. And I'm here today on a special edition talking to Father Donald Calloway. Champions of the Rosary is his book. You can get it on FatherCalloway.com. That's spelled out FatherCalloway.com. You can also get it on Amazon, and when you get it, make sure you send a review, a 5-star review for the book. That helps promote the book and helps organically put the the book in front of other people who may be searching. So, Father, I want to talk a little bit about the Rosary and Fatima. Fatima is the centennial anniversary of Fatima is coming up next year. What did our mother say to the children at Fatima?
Yeah, she said quite a bit, and you know, Fatima is kind of known as Rosary apparitions because she urged the children and through the children the whole world to pray the daily Rosary. And at that time, she asked them to pray it for an end to the war, which at that time was World War I. And she even gave an additional prayer to be recited at the end of each decade. And that's, you know, that famous prayer, "Oh my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell." It's a beautiful prayer.
Yes, and, actually one of my favorites, Father. It's quick, it's easy, and it encompasses a lot.
Yeah, exactly. And it really blends well, by the way, with what we'll talk about, I think, in a little bit, is the new form of devotion that was given to the church in the form of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. There's a lot of similarities between that Fatima prayer and the chaplet. But, you know, she urged the children to pray the Rosary every day, and they did. They just became little champions of the Rosary themselves. And Sister Lucia, who lived, you know, long after the apparitions ended and the other two visionaries, her relatives, had died, Blessed Jacinta and Francisco, Our Lady actually told Sister Lucia to learn how to read and write so that she could promote the Rosary. And so she did. She learned how to read and write, and she wrote a whole bunch of memoirs. And in there, she's always talking about the importance of the Rosary and the significance of that. And then it's important to know about the Fatima apparitions that on the last apparition, on October 13th, 1917, in the famous apparition where the sun spun in the sky and like 70,000 people saw this, Our Lady said that she was to be known as the Lady of the Rosary. So very, very significant, because we title those apparitions Our Lady of Fatima, and rightly so. But they can also be called, you know, Rosary apparitions because of what Our Lady said.
I want to also talk a little bit about another great saint. I mean, we could sit here and talk about saint after saint, but one of the a saint that we highlighted on the Catholic Man Show not too long ago, a patron of the radio, Saint Maximilian Kolbe, who is a lover of Our Lady. Talk a little bit about Saint Maximilian Kolbe and his love for Our Lady and the love for the Rosary.
Oh yeah, he's right up there with Saint Louis de Montfort. I mean, probably him and Saint Louis de Montfort, two of the greatest Marian saints of all time. And he, you know, founded the Militia Immaculata, which is basically an army for Our Lady, a spiritual army for Our Lady, in response basically to what he saw the Freemasons in Rome who were attacking the Church and the Pope and modernism, you know, this stuff that was creeping into the Church. And so he formed this spiritual unit, really, to honor Our Lady and to defend Catholicism. And he promoted the Rosary big time. So he used the miraculous medal because he loved the apparitions given to St. Catherine Laboureil about the miraculous medal and the great conversion of Alphonsus Ratisbonne, this Jewish man who became Catholic and ultimately a Jesuit priest. He promoted the Rosary, and he called it like a bullet in the spiritual life against the evil one. But he also promoted the Rosary, and he specifically called the Rosary a sword. And he told both the men and women who were members of the Militia Immaculata that they were to use that sword, the Rosary, every day in their spiritual lives. And so St. Maximilian Kolbe, I mean, he's one of the greatest.
Talk about it. I mean, for those who don't know, let's talk a little bit about how St. Maximilian Kolbe was in a concentration camp, actually got released, then got captured again, and was in Auschwitz, and gave a beautiful example of laying down his life, like in the Gospel of St. John, where it says, no greater love is this than a man who lays down his life for a friend. I mean, talk about the epitome of living out that gospel verse. That's what St. Maximilian Kolbe did.
Oh, absolutely. And the amazing thing is that he really didn't even know the guy that he was laying down his life for. It's just that he, you know, knew that this man had a family. And so when the Nazis were, you know, going to kill a whole bunch of people because somebody tried to escape, they just selected a whole bunch of people. this man cried out to them saying, but I have family. So St. Maximilian Kolbe stepped up and said he would take his place. Well, the amazing thing is that after St. Maximilian Kolbe was killed and years went by, well, when he was beatified and canonized, that man that he died for, his name was Francis Gajewnocik, he was at the beatification and the canonization of St. Maximilian Kolbe. That's amazing.
That is amazing. You know, Father, one of the things that I absolutely love about Maximilian Kolbe, a phrase that I use of his all the time, especially when speaking to Protestants, our Protestant brothers and sisters, I always say, you know, he said, never be afraid to love our mother too much because you can never love her as much as our Lord did.
Right. Yeah, it makes perfect sense when you think about it. I mean, Jesus is the eternal Son of the Father, but he's also the Son of Our Lady, and so he loves her so much, and we're never going to outdo that love.
Right. Another guy I want to talk about, one that a lot of my generation knows very well, that we were blessed to have as a pope for many, many years, Saint Pope John Paul II, also known as maybe even Pope John Paul the Great. He was a man of the Rosary. I want to talk a little bit about, let's talk about the Luminous Mystery. I think something that I've noticed, Father, I've been going through his Wednesday audiences with a group of men in the morning on the theology of the body, his Wednesday audiences that he gave back in the early 80s. And as you go through that, the theology of the body, and then obviously St. John Paul II, you know, coming up with the Luminous Mysteries, or not, he just kind of made them a part of the Rosary. You know, it's really funny how those two things tie together so well. You know, you have the wedding feast at Cana, you know, traditional marriage. You have the institution of the Eucharist. You have so much of that's tied together. Talk a little bit about the Luminous Mystery and Pope John Paul II.
Yeah, I mean, he's we're hitting all the greats because, I mean, you got St. Louis de Montfort, St. Maximilian Kolbe, and St. John Paul II. I mean, those guys are just the power players when it comes to Marian devotion. And, I mean, 2 weeks after he was elected to be the Pope in 1978, he told the whole world that the Rosary was his favorite prayer. And then he began to do everything he could to promote it. I mean, he handed out rosaries to newlyweds. He went on pilgrimage. He would pray the rosary, and he would, over the Vatican radio himself, he would lead it. Just incredible. And so kind of culminating towards the end of his papacy is when he gave to the church the Luminous Mysteries. And it's funny because a lot of people think that he's the inventor of them, but he's actually not. And he knew that. All of this is in my book. We don't have time to go into it, but even St. Louis de Montfort promoted four of the current five Luminous Mysteries in the 18th century. So there's a long history to this. And then the Luminous Mysteries as we have them today, the five specifically, were really the creation of St. George Preca, which almost nobody knows about, but he was beatified in 2001 by John Paul II. Then in 2002, John Paul II gave us those five Luminous Mysteries. And then after John Paul died, Pope Benedict XVI canonized St. George Preca in 2007. But see, the Luminous Mysteries are significant because of what you were saying, because the original 15 mysteries were given to the church in the 13th century because those were the exact mysteries that were being attacked by the Albigensians, this heretical sect in southern France. So today, what's being attacked today? Well, the defense of marriage, the need for conversion, the divinity of Christ, his real presence in the Blessed Sacrament. And so all St. John Paul II did was to resharpen or reload the ancient weapon of the rosary and turn it into a modern-day lightsaber to combat the falsehoods of our time. And so, I mean, you want to know a real Jedi Knight? We're talking John Paul II. This guy was powerful. I mean, he knew what the world needed, and he gave it to us.
Absolutely. You know, and the last one, like we said, the institution of the Eucharist, you know, that's the source and summit of our faith, as the Catechism says. I mean, it is the source and summit of our faith. So it's just such a beautiful thing to pray on Thursdays is when it's dedicated to. But I absolutely love so much about, you know, how John Paul II took the rosary and lived it out in his daily life. I mean, here's a man who who forgave the guys, the guy who tried to kill him. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I mean, golly, talk about a guy who just lives out the rosary, who did and ran the race, fought the good fight.
Absolutely. Oh, no, there's no question about it. I mean, his motto was taken from St. Louis de Montfort's consecration formula, Totus Tuus, and he championed it everywhere. I mean, he was on fire, and I think you're right. I think he totally deserves the title St. John Paul the Great.
Yeah, I agree. I'm sitting here talking with Father Donald Calloway, author of Champions of the Rosary. Visit his website, fathercalloway.com. Check it out on Amazon. You can get it there. When we get back, I want to talk about a friend of St. John Paul the Great, which is Sister Mary Faustina, and talk a little bit more about how we can live a rosary life on a day-to-day basis. I'm Adam Minahan with The Catholic Man Show. Stay tuned. Welcome back to an exclusive interview, special edition of The Catholic Man Show. I'm Adam Minahan, and I am sitting here interviewing Father Donald Calloway, author of Champions of the Rosary, and I've had a great conversation so far. Father, we've talked a little bit about on The Catholic Man Show how prayer is a tough thing. It's a manly thing. You know, a lot of people think, you know, prayer is a woman, is for women and not for men, but you know, prayer is tough. It takes dedication. It takes commitment. It takes doing it even when you're not really wanting to or feeling like you should. And prayer is it's a manly thing to do. If a man is struggling to pray, let's say pray the rosary on a daily basis, what are your suggestions to him to kind of get going?
Yeah, well, I mean, I know sometimes, you know, sure, it can be hard to factor it in, but at the same time, you know, I would say there are things that we do throughout our day when we're really doing something mindless, you know, like when you're driving, for example. I mean, a lot of guys, they drive to work, and what do? They just mindlessly turn on the radio, or they just mindlessly, you know, do nothing, really.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why not take that time to pray the rosary, you know? Fulton Sheen used to say, and I love this, we don't really have this today, but he said in his time, he said that the little knobs on the steering wheels could be used to count the Hail Marys.
Awesome.
I love that. Yeah, I remember those kind of steering wheels when I was young. Today they're a little smoother, but you know, you can do it then, or you can do it during your lunch break, or when you're driving back home after work, or whatever it may be. Or if you need to, divide it up, you know, throughout the day. If you pray it one decade here or one decade there throughout the day, I mean, that's fine. I think there's so many creative ways to do it that there really is almost no excuse not to do it. I mean, we could all spend 20 minutes, you know, I mean, in the course of the day doing this.
Right. Another great way to kind of shorten it up is the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, which we kind of talked about with Sister Saint Maria Faustina. Talk a little bit about how the chaplet and the rosary, you can use the chaplet to pray on the rosary.
Yeah, well, our Lord gave this new form of devotion to His mercy to Saint Faustina in the early 20th century, and it's a beautiful prayer that takes like 5 to 7 minutes to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy on ordinary rosary beads. And I like to call the chaplet like the rosary on training wheels, you know?
Right.
Because, you know, some people they're like, 20 minutes is so difficult. I'm like, okay, well then heaven says, can you give me 5, you know? Can you give me 5 minutes, you know?
Right, that's so, the whole Abraham negotiating with God. What about 10 guys, 10 people?
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, our Heavenly Father is so accommodating. He's like, come on, guys, you know? So it's so easy to pray, and it's a beautiful prayer because you're praying for your own self, for your own sins, for God's mercy, and for the whole world. And boy, do we need that today. I mean, we're in the year of mercy right now, thanks be to God, and our world needs mercy more than ever.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about Pope Paul VI. The 60s were absolutely crazy, huh?
Oh my goodness, were they? Yikes.
I wasn't around in the 60s, but, you know, history books and all of the movies and things like that that came out in the 60s and all of the writings that you hear, they were kind of crazy. And Pope Paul VI was a Marian devotion advocate for sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it's once again, it's thanks to him that we still have the rosary, because during his pontificate, there were a whole bunch of people, theologians especially, who were saying, let's change the rosary. Let's get away from what we've been doing with this thing for hundreds of years. Let's update it to totally modify it and change it to another form. And blessed Pope Paul VI, he was like, absolutely not. There were some theologians that were drafting a document that would address kind of the Marian crisis that was happening, where people weren't as devoted to Our Lady as they had been. And he had his eye on that document, because he didn't want it to go out until he fully approved it. So it took something like 3 years for this thing to get approved, because he kept sending the drafts back and saying, like, nope, try again, boys, you know, basically. And so it took like 3 years for this thing to get finalized. And then finally he said, okay, that's satisfactory, and they put it out. So he was a great defender of the rosary.
Another saint that was quote unquote modern, that's happened in several a lot of people's lifetime, is Saint Padre Pio, who was famous of saying, go get my weapon, which was he was talking about the rosary. I've noticed that I have a picture of him here in our studio, and actually a candle that's lit with him, and he's almost always pictured with the rosary in his hand.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And he did. He almost always had it in his hand. And one time, I think one of his superiors asked him one day, Padre Pio, how many rosaries have you prayed today? And I think he said something like 60. I mean, that's unbelievable. It's like, that's basically all day. And yet he was very busy. I mean, he was doing stuff with his community. He was hearing confessions, saying mass, and so many things. And so that's the lesson of the saints right there, is that, they never put their weapon down.
Mm-hmm. Father, I want to talk about two more things for sure that I want to make sure to touch on. One is kind of a pet peeve of mine. Maybe it shouldn't be, but what do you say to people who want to wear the rosary as jewelry or want to wear it as a fashion statement?
Mm. Right, yeah. I mean, obviously that's odd. It's not jewelry. The interesting thing is that, like, centuries ago, people did wear the rosary, but it wasn't worn as jewelry. It was worn as a sign of their being Catholic and devoted to Our Lady. And they saw it almost like as a binding chain or a binding rope that bound them to Our Lady. And it's great. There's many examples of saints who did this. And so there's a history of that. But unfortunately, today, when people do it, sometimes it's just gang members doing it, or it's somebody doing it thinking that it's, a statement. And I actually, in the past, I asked some teenagers. I was speaking at a high school, and some of them had the rosary around their neck. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. I said, do you guys pray the rosary? And they're like, the what? And I'm like, the rosary. And they're like, what's that? And I'm like, you're wearing it around your neck. I'm like, so, yeah, that bummed me out.
Yeah. But what a great opportunity to evangelize.
Right. Oh, totally. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I told him, I said, look, if you're going to wear the thing, pray.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Father, one of the things that we do on the Catholic Man Show is we really try to advocate men stepping up in their spiritual leadership and to embrace being the spiritual leader of the family. Talk about the importance of fathers leading the rosary, having nightly prayer, family time prayer, and how the rosary can be used as family prayer, and the importance of men leading their families to pray the rosary.
Yeah, that's extremely important, because there's actually been studies done, sociological surveys and studies, that if it's the father of the house that is the one who takes the initiative and takes the family to church and leads prayers in the home, that the chances that the children will grow up to continue to practice the faith are like exponentially higher, because it's kind of a given. Everybody knows that women do these things. But when a child sees the father doing it, it really sticks. It has staying power. And so if the father, leads the family in prayer, gathers them together in the evening to pray the rosary, or even just one decade of it, That is a huge statement. That boy will grow up and he will know what it means to be a man, and a well-grounded man, and a holy man. And when the girl grows up, she'll see that, and she'll know that she's valued and treasured, and she'll want to, you know, be a holy woman. And so I can't encourage men enough, husbands and fathers, to do this. And the popes have said this. I mean, great promoters of the rosary, like the servant of God, Patrick Peyton, talked about this, the family rosary, and let it be the father who gathers the family and leads the family. That is vital, I think, and we need a lot more of that.
I couldn't agree more. I'd like to take, I'm probably going to take that little clip and play it over and over again for our listeners, because I think that society today has just watered down and perverted true masculinity so much that it's time that we need men to step up and to be men, to be real men, and lead their families to heaven, as we're called to do.
Right, exactly, absolutely.
Real quick, Father, we have about, oh, just 2.5 minutes or so. Talk a little bit about how the rosary played in your conversion. Your conversion is very widely known. Talk a little bit about that, and then talk about how tough or what some of the struggles were writing the Champions of the Rosary.
Yeah, well, when I had my conversion to Catholicism, I learned how to pray the rosary from these sweet little Filipino ladies, and you know, it just became my daily companion, and I really think it helped me to discern my vocation to be a priest. So, I mean, ever since my conversion 23 years ago, I the rosary is always in my pocket, always, and that's part of the reason why I was inspired to write Champions of the Rosary, is I love it so much, and I want people to know about it and to love it, and you know, the greatest book, as I said, ever written on it was The Secret of the Rosary, but that was 3 centuries ago. So I wanted to kind of give an updated version of that masterpiece for the people of our times, so that people are aware of all the battles, the victories, the popes, the saints, the miracles that are associated with the rosary, so that they can know that and then act upon it by taking up the spiritual weapon and using it to combat the darkness of our times. So that's the whole intention behind it.
Father, it's been such an honor to talk to you. I've been looking forward to this all week. I appreciate you taking the time. If people can go get your book, FatherCalloway.com or Amazon. Father, can you end us with a priestly blessing?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless all the listeners, their families, their intentions. We pray for renewed love for Our Lady and her rosary, especially through the intercession of St. Dominic. We ask this blessing in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father. I appreciate you taking the time.
God bless you.
You too. This is Adam Minahan closing out the Catholic Man Show exclusive interview with Father Donald Calloway. Check us out on Facebook, or you can listen to the Catholic Man Show on Thursdays at 7 p.m. on St. Michael Catholic Radio. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass.